A lot of good things have been coming out from Chalice Press lately, and here's another. It's a new book titled Acting on Faith, Stories of Courage, Activism, and Hope Across Religions. With a badly needed message of shared values across growing divides, the book was edited by Diane Ferris Beadle and Jamie Lynn Haskins, and I am really pleased to welcome them both to State of Belief Radio. Diane, Jamie, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Would each of you start with just a quick description of what brought you to this project?
So I remember vividly being at a clergy retreat. This is about 5 years ago or so now. And we were about to go into a 24 hours of silent meditation. And just before that, a friend showed me an article. One of my colleagues showed me an article about three Muslim young adults who had been killed in Chapel Hill near where I live. And it turned out that the young man who was killed, I had worked with his brother on an interfaith Habitat for Humanity build. So I spent those 24 hours of silence really reflecting on that incident and feeling convicted about trying to do something, trying to add something to our public conversation, to our world, to help address all of these incidents of interfaith violence that seemed to be increasing. And what I kept coming back to was stories and how powerful stories are in helping us understand each other. I read more and more stories about these three young Muslims that had been killed, and they were just incredible people, very compassionate, very involved in service in their community and the world. And I thought, if we'd all only understand each other, and if people knew the ways that people of all different faiths were making the world a better place, not only would we have more compassion with each other, but we all might be more inspired to do the same. So that was what motivated me in the beginning.
And around that same time, this is Jamie Lynn, around that same time, I serve as a college chaplain. I was serving at the time at an institution where I was the college chaplain, and it included students from over 18 different faith traditions and denominations. And so a student came into my office one day, and she kind of threw herself into the office chair and said, "I don't want to talk to you, but there's no one left." And I said, "Well, can you tell me more about that?" And she said, "Well, I'm a Muslim and I'm gay, and you're a Christian, and that means you hate me." And I realized that she had no idea that my faith actually calls me to love and to love abundantly, and that we actually were a lot more alike than we were different. And so Diane and I are great friends, and through conversations about the three young adults who were killed in Chapel Hill, and my students, and the diversity of students' faith traditions that I get to come in contact with, this kind of book was born over time and through conversation and dialogue with the wonderful folks at Chalice Press.
Was it deep commonalities that made working on this book irresistible to you both?
So Diane and I share a lot of very similar theological commitments now. We're both ordained in the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. Both serve as clergy and have the privilege of doing that in a denomination that we love. Shared commitments to justice and to making our world better. Our real difference is in our upbringing. I did not grow up in the church, was in no way involved in a religious community at all, and had more affinity, I think, with folks who identify as atheist or agnostic until right around college. And Diane, I know your story is a little bit different there.
Yeah, I grew up in the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. In fact, I have two uncles who are disciples, pastors, and just was always raised from an early age to believe that the church speaks up for justice, that that Christians can be inclusive and welcoming. So that's really been a part of my faith from the very beginning.
So when you all began to talk about this, what did you want this book to achieve? What was the objective that each of you had in mind while putting these stories together?
This is Diane. My hope really was that people who, I feel fortunate that I have been able to interact with people of a lot of different religions, having lived in urban areas and just that being a passion of mine. But my hope was that there, if there are people who have not had the chance to really meet and get to know someone of a different religion, that this would help them learn the stories, learn about people of different religions to make it more real, to develop some empathy and understanding about people from different backgrounds. And at the same time, to encourage people to think more deeply about their own faith and their own beliefs and what motivates them to make a difference in the world from their, whatever perspective they're coming from.
And this is Jamie Lynn. And for me, it was very shared, similar commitments. Diane and I have stood on many a rally line together and held many a protest sign and been active in social justice work all the way back to our, from our divinity school days at Vanderbilt. And so we've shared a love for that work. And then again, I get to work with these phenomenal students who are Muslim, who are Buddhist, who are Jewish, who are atheist, and folks have all of these preconceived ideas about who they are. And what I get to see are these just incredibly courageous, compassionate, justice-driven humans. And I desperately wanted to share that with the world for them to see that folks of all faith traditions share very similar commitments.
Can you identify some core commonalities that could serve as a starting point for bringing people together for these kinds of conversations?
This is Diane. A couple of things come to mind. One is just, you know, what inspired this book and my experiences with an interfaith build through Habitat for Humanity is that so many people of faith are motivated by their faith to make a positive difference. That's what I love about these interfaith habitat builds is I'm working alongside people who are Hindu and Buddhist and Muslim and all different backgrounds, and we're all there because our faith has taught us that we want to help others, that we want to love and serve our neighbors. And so to me, that's a great starting point. And then once we're working alongside each other to make the world a better place, we learn a lot more about the other things that we have to connect over.
I'm talking with Diane Beadle and Jamie Haskins, editors of the new book, Acting on Faith, Stories of Courage, Activism, and Hope Across Religions. I would love to hear each of you take a little time and describe a couple of your favorite stories from this collection.
Absolutely. Well, this is Jamie Lynn, and I am a little bit biased, but two of the stories in the book are from former students of mine. And so I had the opportunity to just deeply know the contributors and the authors, and I was so moved by both of them. So the first story is by Fatima, a student we know as Shafa, and she talks about she is a woman who grew up Muslim in the Maldives. And so in her story, she talks about how climate change will make the citizens of the Maldives the first climate change refugees. So their island is literally being swallowed up. And in the story, she talks about the complexities of being a Muslim who is often characterized in American media as a terrorist, as someone violent, who's just desperately trying to teach people about climate change and to ask them to be more loving toward the earth and toward our world. And so Shafa is this very tiny young woman. I mean, just so small, but you hear her story and you realize that she is a powerhouse. She might as well be 7'5" because of just the passion and the dynamism and her faithfulness that she brings. And so that was absolutely one of my favorite stories. And another student of mine, Khaled, grew up in a Syrian refugee camp. And so he writes about what it looks like for these refugees who had so little to share and give of themselves when new refugees came into the camps. And so again, he is a Muslim, and we have all of these preconceived conceptions in our world about who Muslims are, but they all acted with such justice and love and compassion. And so to get to hear those students share those stories and to share them with the world, I just am so proud of them and so proud to be able to offer them to other people.
They had a good teacher, didn't they?
Well, I don't know about that, but
they definitely did. Yep. This is Diane. I think every time I read through them again, I have a different favorite. Just something new stands out. Early on, Khaled's story about growing up in a refugee camp was one of my favorites, too, just because I think it does turn our perceptions on our head about who gives and who receives hospitality. But I think I really like the stories that taught me something new or unexpected. There's one of our Jewish contributors, Maya Warman, wrote about visiting an immigrant in detention, and it was just really beautiful story of friendship and connection. Again, where, you know, she was the one going to visit this detainee, but she really learned a lot about herself and her own faith from that experience. There's another story from Marquise Hairston, who is an African-American gay Pentecostal pastor. And just those different elements of identity, it was, you know, surprising to hear how they came together and made him who he was, and the ways that he felt like his Pentecostal faith really allowed him to live more faithfully as a gay man, which, you know, we wouldn't assume thinking about the Pentecostal church, I think. And that he had a beautiful interpretation of the Pentecost story in Acts that I would never have thought of, about how that story should inspire followers of Jesus to acts of justice as a fundamental part of our identity. I could go on and on. I have lots of favorites, but those are some that spring to mind first.
Were there other stories that didn't make it into the book that you wished you could have put in there?
Yes. The answer is yes. We had additional submissions and it would have been great if we could have shared every story with the world, but unfortunately we weren't able to do that this time.
What made a good story for you?
This is Diane. I'm going to back up before I answer that question. I will say that was really one of the most challenging parts. It took us a good part of 3.5-4 years for this all to come together, because it just took a long time to reach out to all of our networks and gather all of these stories, and especially to gather stories. It was our goal to have a diverse representation of voices, so people of all different religions, people from different parts of the country, people of different races and ages and genders, so that it really reflected a variety of experiences. So that was a challenge, to gather stories that were meaningful but also showed a wide variety of experience. So I think a good story for us was one that maybe added another viewpoint that we didn't already have, but also that was very personal and concrete and showed how someone's faith really made a difference in how they lived their life and how they understood who they are in the world.
Mm-hmm. It strikes me that this really is work that needs to be ongoing. And I understand there are some initiatives to grow this beyond just one static book. Would you talk about that, please?
Well, we certainly are. Each week we've had a book club, an online book club through our publisher, Chalice Press, and we've invited one or two authors from each chapter to come and speak with us. And so we've got all of these folks gathered together virtually, and folks from various faith traditions engaging in consistent dialogue. And that has been incredibly meaningful in this time of isolation, to look on a screen and see different faces from largely across the country of various faith traditions. And we have been very grateful for that. And then, of course, who knows what the future brings? There may be an opportunity to collect more stories and continue the conversation that way as well.
And I think one thing that I would be excited to see is if the book becomes a launching pad for people in their own communities to gather people together from different faith traditions and share their own stories. If this could inspire people to, in their own communities, hopefully one day when we can get together, to get together and learn from each other in a deeper way, learn from their neighbors.
I think it's profoundly helpful to identify instances of these kinds of coming together in the world around us. So much of what social and mainstream media prime us to notice is conflict and divisions. What are some we can begin to condition ourselves to better notice the positive connections and interactions around us?
I think one of the things we learn, this is Jamie Lynn, one of the things we learn from the book is so much hope can be found in stories. So rather than sweeping statements about who a people are or what a faith tradition teaches, when we root ourselves in the individual stories of other human beings, we actually are able to learn more about what it means to be human, what it means to be faithful. And so stories of heartbreak and stories of hopefulness and stories of deep sadness and overwhelming joy, I have found that when we can start there, rather than on the news or rather than our Facebook feed, when we can start in true, authentic stories, we really find great hopefulness and great connection across what are often initially perceived as divides. But really, we are so much closer than we know because we all share the human experience.
Hmm. Do you know, are there people now, faith communities, using this book in interreligious programs already?
Yes. Diane, I don't know what you know of specifically. A few churches I know have already started using it as material for book clubs and various studies.
Yeah, and we heard there was an inquiry from, I forget which seminary, about a professor using it in world religions course as a textbook.
I'd like for each of you to talk about what putting this book together has done to you.
This is Diane. You know, I approached this book feeling like I was a very open-minded person and have a great passion for interfaith dialogue and very non-judgmental. But I realized once we started collecting the stories, a question came up about whether we would include stories from pagans. And I was kind of surprised. My initial reaction was, no, that's not a religion. And I really had to check myself and think, you know, this is an area that I have where I can grow too, that all of us, no matter how open-minded we consider ourselves, I think can grow in our understanding and our acceptance. And so that was a learning for me that even I needed to hear some stories of people whose perspectives I hadn't heard before.
This is Jamie Lynn. More than anything, I had the sneaking suspicion before this started that when it comes to who we are at our core, we are all more alike than we are different. But the working on this book really confirmed that. So to read stories from a young woman who grew up in the Maldives and a young man who grew up in a Syrian refugee camp and another woman who grew up in the middle of the United States, all of different faith traditions or branches of faith traditions, and to see that their thirst for love and their hunger for justice is the same. Their faithfulness, I mean, it's obviously beautifully different and complex and nuanced, but at the core level, it is about love and compassion. And so during a time when, for me, our world, our political discourse and our ideological discourse appears to be narrowing, and hate appears to be showing up quite a bit more, this was a source of great hopefulness for me at a time when I really needed it, and continues to be during this pandemic. There is so much hope and so much power in the incredible humans who exist in our world. And so it was just a source of light and a source of hope.
You know, as I listen to you, what I hear is both of you experienced some changes as you worked on the book, and the deeper into it you got, the more you may have changed. Now, a lot of people don't want to change, or they are scared of change. So before we go, tell our listeners, what's all right about reading this book, even if they do want to get into it enough that they want to find someone to talk with? Tell them that the change is risky, but all right. Is that true?
This is Diane. One of the things that we remind the people in our online book club every week when we start is that the goal of our conversations is not to change anybody's mind. You're not trying to convince somebody of a different religion or different perspective that they're wrong and you're right. The goal is really understanding, deeper understanding of somebody else and deeper understanding of yourself. So one of the things that I love about this book is it's not meant to convince anybody to change religions, or, you know, they don't even have to necessarily change their mind about any justice issues or anything like that. But this is a book that at its best helps people who read it deepen their own faith by really thinking more thoughtfully about what they believe and how they live out those beliefs in the world.
Diane Ferris Beadle and Jamie Lynn Haskins are the editors of this new book, Acting on Faith, Stories of Courage, Activism, and Hope Across Religions. An interfaith activist and ordained minister, Diane lives in Raleigh, North Carolina. Jamie is chaplain for spiritual life at the University of Richmond in Virginia. I'd really like to thank both of you for this accessible and profoundly hope-giving book available now from Chalice Press. Thank you, and thanks for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.